Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, it's hour number three, Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Your calls at 800-919-3776. We'll go full buffet here the rest of the show because there's a lot of things on the docket. Opening day in baseball, and the Yankees are playing. The Mets did not get their game in today, and they canceled it yesterday, or postponed it, I should say. So they'll play tomorrow. The Yankees at 4 o'clock in Houston against the Astros, so plenty to talk about there. My only question is simply this for you on the calls, is what are your expectations for the Yankees this season? What are your real expectations? I expect them to do what? So there's that. There's the Knicks coming off yet another blowout win over a team that is undermanned, taking care of business kind of win, and suddenly they are closer to second place than they are to the play-in. How do we feel about where the Knicks are with Mitchell Robinson also back in the fold? There's just lots, again, all different types of stories to get to. We also have the over-under totals from ESPN Bet on the NFL. Where are the Jets in this whole thing with a healthy Aaron Rodgers? We'll get to that and more, but first, Bart, it is hour number three. It is Bart and Han. I forgot what day it is. I think it's Thursday. I might be right. Either way, what's that all mean?
And I just got my shake, so that means I'm powered up. So it has to be the power hour, hour. Brought to you from Alan's crib, the basement.
The basement. The basement. Stevie B, who listens all the time, we love Steve, Big Steve. We love him. We see him all the time at all different events. He said the Yankees need to win the division and get past ALCS.
Win the division.
That's his expectations.
Did he realize that the Orioles are in that division?
Well,
and they are
I didn't. That's not what I meant. I meant your expectations. What are you feeling right now? Like, they got to do this, or I'm going to be mad.
How can that be that? How can that be your? I would want to know what's the ramifications then. I want to know what that is. I want to know who does that mean? Like, is getting fired? If your expectations are that, you fall short of expectations again. Who's falling on the sword? Because the Orioles are better than you.
Yeah,
they've come and you had a lead on them and they came and got you. Because you didn't go get Castillo Lolo. Like, because every time it was time for you to cash in the bag, you fell short. And I know it doesn't look well for the pitcher out in L.A.
Yamamoto. His first outing was rough.
Yeah, it was rough, right? But you fell short of that. Like, when did the Yankees not get their guys? I don't understand.
Or how
outside
about
outside of getting the Yankee, a white whale, when did this become a thing?
Well, when were the Yankees also not really a destination?
That's basically what I'm saying.
Blake Snell wouldn't take less to come to the Yankees, right?
Jordan
Montgomery was like, I'm not going back there. I'm all set. Like, Yamamoto, the Yankee brand was not strong enough for him. The Dodger brand was. It didn't matter to him. The Yankee brand did not matter.
What did I miss?
To a guy like that.
Did
that happen? When did the Yankee brand slip? And is it? It's clearly slipping. Look, everything's cyclical, right? We all know this. Things happen in cycles. The Yankees and Red Sox dominated this division for so many years, and now they are at the bottom. They are at the bottom, and you have the Orioles now as the team that used to be at the bottom that is now the it team.
How are we at the bottom, and we got one of the highest payrolls? Who buying the groceries?
That's a good point.
Buying the groceries?
That would be
because
Brian Cashman.
Rodon had like an expiration date that we didn't read. And it seemed like we got spoiled food. We didn't know. Like, it was like that clearance rack, that clearance meat. Mm.
Like, I just want to know the expectations. What you feel like the Yankees have to be this year because of what they are. Like, the reality of Gerrit Cole is there. And who is going to be, like Bart mentioned it, like who's the punching bag? There is, you're missing guys that once were the punching bags. They're not there anymore. You can't hate Joey Gallo. He's not here anymore. Josh Donaldson is not here anymore. Aaron Hicks is not here anymore for you to knock around. Who is it now that's going to take the brunt of your boos and your anger and frustration? Is it Stanton? Is it Gleyber Torres? Who is it going to be? And you can't say Boone, because I think players are the ones that are going to feel it. I think it's going to be Carlos Rodon. I think it's going to be him. Could it be Stroman? If he doesn't get off to a good start, are you going to get on his case?
Oh, you know he can't take no criticism.
So who's it going to be? That's what I want to know. I mean, you know, Verdugo's too new to be somebody that if I don't like the way he – because, you know, he's a guy that gets called out sometimes for not going 100%. So I think I'd like to know the expectations and who's going to be the new punching bag. So I'm ready to go this season because Judge and Soto could be a dynamic duo. And if Rizzo's healthy, you add him to the mix, this offense could be good. DJ LeMahieu at the top is missing. That's a problem. Gerrit Cole is on this. Now, they put him on the 60-day IL, if you're just joining us. So he's now out at least until late May at best. But you might miss him for even more than that.
But also, like, remember, you're like speed dating. Like, you're not even engaged to Soto yet.
Soto, I know. Yeah.
So you sitting up there and you fall short, and he's like, man, they get criticized all day, man. I ain't got time for this. Like, yo, and we ain't win?
Right.
Yeah. I ain't signed up for this. Get me up out of here. And then Mr. Met just looking at him with all that cash.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you don't know if the Mets want to spend that kind of cash.
Yeah,
because
they do.
They've got decisions to make with their future.
No, but they said they're all in. Like they
didn't
spend.
Say they were all in. They said that they're rebuilding the organization through, you know, rebuilding the organization through the farm system, man. I should say, and trying to build it back up because they had spent a ton of money and that didn't work. So now they're going this way.
Tell me what, Soto times up directly with their young players because he's a young player. It's going to be guys coming up that's damn near probably his age.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, so he fits
into
that. That means
moving on from Pete Alonso then.
Why? Why can't you pay both? This dude's the richest dude. You just had Scherzer and Verlander.
They just did that and it didn't work out. And he just said
that's not the way to do it. Yeah, but those are old stars. These are guys. Alonso's at his prime. That's like letting their version of Judge go.
Okay.
And Soto would be the bat that they always needed for protection for Alonso.
It all depends on how things go this year because, to me, the Yankees have two choices to make. You either have to use the money to protect Aaron Judge. If Soto ends up being like the best piece, the lefty, to put next to Judge, and that becomes like this epic piece, right? If that's true and Judge has a great year and Soto has a great year, you might feel compelled that I invested all this money into Aaron Judge and Juan Soto now allows me to believe that that investment can be protected, then I might want to do that. But the other way is to say we can't pay Juan Soto if I still need a number two pitcher because Rodon is not it and that Cole, I have to protect him. I got to get another ace in here because it's just too much pressure on Cole. So which way do you spend the money? Do I protect Cole or do I protect Aaron Judge? To me, that's the only decision that they'll come up with at the end of the season if Soto has a great year. That's it. They'll have to decide which is more valuable to us, paying Soto and protecting Judge or going out and paying whoever the next big-name pitcher who could be an ace that's out there that you've got to convince not only to come here but take your money so that he and Cole could be the one and two like he had in Houston and obviously other places you've seen the one and twos and how well that's done. That's what I think they have to figure out. Who are you protecting and who's it worth? Because you can't do both, clearly, with the payroll that they have and the amount of money they've already spent. Right?
You're right.
All right. 800-919-3776. Is it Hermes in Brooklyn? Really?
Oh.
Hermes, yeah.
Hermes, I love that. So every belt you have has a big H on it, right?
Yeah.
This Greek guy?
I love it.
Negative. That's a big negative on that one.
But Hermes was a Greek god, right? I know you did all the research about who Hermes was, right?
Yeah, he's a Greek god, but I'm Dominican, so it's a whole different backstory on that.
Oh, really? Okay. Do you want to share that backstory? Because I'm very – no, actually,
yeah,
I'm
got nothing
legitimately
but time.
Interested in this.
Okay. All right, so my family's from a small little town, Dominican Republic, and basically in that town, there was like an almanac. My dad was born like in 71, and there's like an almanac for like a certain day that you're born, there's like a certain name, and his name was Hermes Nicholas, and so he took his same first name and gave me his same first name and my dad's, my grandfather's middle name, and that's my name.
I love that. That's a great story.
Yeah.
And Hermes now, and so... somebody one day's got to buy you a belt, right? Just to put it all together.
No, what you? What
I feel
you,
like Hermes should be paying me residual.
Well, that's a good point. NIL, right? NIL.
What you do is you get a bootleg H and you put it on there, and they're like, "No, that's contract infringement." Like, no, this is my government name.
What are you talking
this
about?
This is just my shirt.
Exactly.
So you got Hermes. I'm Hermes. You know what I'm saying? Mine's just with a mine's with a silent E. You just move the apostrophe over one.
I think it's great. I would have just made one change. I would have made the S in your name a dollar sign.
Or maybe.
or I think Z. I'm gonna do that certificate.
That's what you should do. Or every autograph you sign, just make it a dollar sign. I just think that's
exactly.
Add a little swag to it. All right, what do you got for me on the Yankees?
So, yeah, I just wanted to, like, basically calm down the entire Yankee fan base. Guys, before this whole Gerrit Cole thing happened, everybody was like, yo, the Yankees are being slept on. We have a really good chance of going far this year. Ah. Now, all of a sudden, Gerrit Cole, yes, I understand he's an ace. He just won the Cy Young. He only pitched 33 games in a 162-game season. That's a fifth of the year. We have one of the deepest pitching staffs in the entire MLB, including our farm system. So, at the end of the day, when it goes to October, are we ever saying, God, I really wish we had some better pitchers right now? No. Every single year, we're talking about the lineup. The lineup besides DJ LeMahieu is at least our fourth or fifth most important hitter this year. We don't need him to be the batting champ again this year, okay? As long as he gets right by May, we'll be all right. We needed Soto here. We need him to produce. We need somebody to protect Judge so that him and Judge can go off. That's what we need. If we have that, we can win the division. You're talking about the Orioles. When I see the Orioles actually do something, I know last year they were really good.
Yeah.
I'm not like discounting that. I'm actually scared of them. The Blue Jays, they're trash. Don't even talk to me about the Blue Jays. But the Orioles are coming. Like, it's going to be the Orioles and the Yankees this year. They're going to be the top two teams in the AL East. If the Yankees can just have those guys, if the Yankees can just have Soto and Judge hitting one, like, second and third in that order consistently the entire year, they're going to be at the top of the AL East this year, period. The Yankees will fill that hole in that rotation with Luis Hill or whoever. Like, you know, they'll put an amalgam of guys in there, and they'll get the job done. So just calm down, guys. We'll be all right. That's it. That's all I had to say.
All right. All right, you're staying optimistic. Luis Hill, remember, is coming off an injury, too, and he's got to work his way to where he can be consistently giving you innings. And they don't want to rush him as well because of what he's been through. I think it was Tommy John, right? But yeah, they do feel like they like what they saw out of Hill in spring training. And the feeling is that he could be a difference maker and fill that spot, even if it's short term in the rotation. But I got to be honest with you. I remember in the postseason, a lot of times I felt like there's not enough pitching. Now, the bullpen had been the strength. They had to give up some key pieces, you know, Michael King obviously being a big one in the trade for Soto. So you gave up pitching, and you have yourself obviously a world-class hitter to put with Judge. But I do think there is enough concerns, and I'm not the only one. I mean, you've heard some other people, Jeff Pass and others, who have expressed concern about what the Yankees can be this year. And it all comes back to the same thing. Injuries ended your season last year. Injuries are beginning your season this year. That's the part of it, I think, that worries me the most. It's not something tangible. It's an intangible that has hovered around this franchise for too long. But Alex in Orlando, Bart, he's got more optimism. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, hope you guys are doing good. Just wanted to say, first of all, on your first point where you were talking about the Knicks, sorry about the dog, but on the Knicks, what you guys were talking about, honestly, what Tom Thibodeau has done over the past couple years, he's definitely worthy of an extension for sure. Right. I mean, you're talking about they gave him some ingredients that didn't work early on, you know, talking about Kimba, talking about Fournier, and he still figured out a way to get a good rotation out there, get his best players on the floor, and develop a couple of key contributors, including, like, right now we're looking at Deuce McBride. On top of the Yankees, though, real quick, Alan and Bart, I just wanted to say, I mean, let's calm down. I understand, like, you know, we have 162. We're talking about our best pitcher. I understand that. But, you know, also we always have a solid bullpen. We lose players. We plug and play. And Bart, please keep your hands off of Juan Soto right now. I don't want to hear this all year, man. I respectfully, come on. I just want to enjoy what we got now.
I'm just saying, if you guys don't do right by him, you know, and he has a bad experience, you guys are just – you guys are dating. This is like what?
It is.
Understood.
It is true. Yeah, it is true. Now, Alex has got these issues right
now. It's impossible! I got that dog in me, boy. You must go now.
That dog did not want to stop barking. I'm with you, though, Bart. I do believe that this could be a short-term thing unless it turns into epic offense. Like, that's what it almost has to be epic, where Judge is just having an all-world season. The Yankee offense looks unstoppable. Teams can't handle these two back-to-back, and they just – it's just instant chemistry, instant perfection, and you just love it. You know, he obviously plays the outfield, doesn't play it at a high level, but still – if you can, if you get that kind of offense where they just become a juggernaut, then it becomes obvious, like, okay, let's not mess this up because these two guys belong together in the lineup. But if it isn't that way, if injuries get in the way or whatever the reason is, I can definitely see the Yankees saying this is not something that we're going to pay for. Yeah. I can see them doing that. And I don't even know, does Soto want to be here long term? Is it in his mind to say, no, I want to be a Yankee forever? Like, you know, I want to hear that out of him, too.
It's all about your
experience. He loves it in the Bronx. He loves it here. You know, he did talk about, obviously, the community and how close to the community he is for him personally. So that has to also be a big part of this.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we've already had the conversation about, hey, we're so surprised that the Yankees aren't a destination. Remember, this guy was traded here. He didn't choose to come here. And the other guys that you wanted to come here didn't want to come here because they don't think it's a destination. They don't think the juice is worth the squeeze. So his experience, and if they fall flat on their face and they have the season like some of the, you know, the some of the things that you read off earlier, if they have that type of season, then he might say, man, nah, I'm out of here. This is a sinking ship.
Yeah, well, again, if they give him the money, he's not going anywhere. Now, to the other caller, and
everybody got money.
Hermes, who we, you know, we just love his backstory, but he did point out how Cole's only, you know, he only played in 33 games. That's 20% of your games. The Yankees won 23 of those games, which is 29% of their wins. So he still has a significant impact on this team's success. They have three of the best players in the game, and all three of those guys have to be impactful. And already you know you're going to miss Cole for the first 2 months of the season. So that is something you have to consider. All right, 800-919-3776. Bart, let's transition to some NFL here because I wanted to talk to you about win-loss. We love to play that game. And now that free agency has gone where it's quieted down now, but teams have made the bulk of their moves. And also we have the draft still coming up, so there could be some more impactful things that happen. But right now we kind of have a feel for what teams are going to be. And ESPN Bet put out their 2024 win total over-unders. So the lowest in the league over-under. I want to see if you can guess.
Well,
there are
easy.
Two teams that have the lowest over-under. Who would they be?
That's easy. It's Carolina.
And? There's two teams.
Probably Arizona.
No, it's New England.
Mm.
Yeah. There's a third team that might surprise you.
13?
Yeah, that's five. So Carolina, New England's over-under is 4.5 wins. There's a team that's 5.5 wins.
You know what's the problem? I haven't looked at who these teams are playing outside of their conference.
Well, just give me a think. Think about a team that you think is going to be bad next year.
Well, I said Arizona.
No, they're not that team.
It's not the Ravens.
In fact, this team had 8 wins this past year, and now they're only projected for 5.5.
That must mean they got a hell of an offseason schedule right here.
Or they
probably
lost
Minnesota. Minnesota.
Nope. Or they lost a key piece at a key position.
Oh, the Giants. I'm sorry.
Nope.
What?
What's a team that just traded a well-known, high-end Super Bowl-winning quarterback? They traded him away.
Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm having brain frog. Let me look.
Denver Broncos.
Oh, okay.
Right.
They're Super Bowl winning quarterback. That's so
what
sneaky.
Do you mean? He did win.
I know, but that's so
I'm not
sneaky.
Making it up.
What's the Giants win total?
Well, that's right. They didn't trade him. They let him go, but whatever. You know the point. The point is they moved on from him. Okay. Now, most improved based on 2024 win totals. Okay.
Most improved?
Yeah. The Chargers won 5 games last year. Their over-under is now 8.5. Would you go over or under for the Chargers?
I'm going to go under, man, because, they lost a lot of great receivers, man.
Really?
I know Harbaugh was there. I just don't know if they have the firepower right now. You know what I'm saying? They got the kid. They got the kid from TCU, but they have problems at tackle. They really don't have a running back unless they're gonna sign Blake Corum, who you know ran a 40 and wasn't that fast. If Harbaugh's trying to get some of his players, I just don't know where they're gonna get that top end wide receiver is. They lost their tight end. They lost Palmer and I believe Everett. They got a lot of holes, man.
All right. After them, Atlanta, they won 7 games last year.
Yeah.
They're now projected at 9.5 over under. Remember, they just brought in Kirk Cousins. Would you go over or under for the Falcons?
How many games?
9.5.
They're in a weak division. 9.5 is still a little bit rich for me. They still can't get to the passer. Look within their division. I think Tampa is a really good team that you know, maintained their 2 receivers. I would go under.
Okay.
Get them 8.
Okay.
That's
now
8 burger.
Let's go locally. So the Jets, also another team that has a quarterback who's coming off an Achilles, obviously coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Cousins for Atlanta, but for the Jets, it's Aaron Rodgers. The Jets are also at 9.5 over-under.
I'll go over. I think they'll get 10-7. I think Aaron's worth 3 games.
So you're going – sorry, so you think he's definitely –
Yeah, I think they'll get 10.
Yeah, they
won, he's
they
worth
3, 7.
They won 7, yeah.
So they were 7-10, right. So you expect them to go over. Okay. The Giants – they are 6.5 wins, according to ESPN Bet. Would you go over or under on the Giants?
I go over. I think they're going to be scrappy.
Really?
Yeah. I think they'll win 7. They'll be like the Jets, 7 games.
So you think that – all right, so you think the Giants, even though no playmakers, you don't know what the quarterback situation is.
The offensive line is great,
yep,
I believe.
Great. They got better.
I think they got a lot better. I think, you know, with Runyon there – I think they're solid. Left side solid. I think, you know, and Singletary is going to be that guy that they're not going to try and run a lot. They're going to throw the ball a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they go out and they get a doomsday, or they maybe trade back and they get, you know, 11-23 and they get 2 guys on offense that can help them. Okay. And they still have money to go get some of these guys that are going to be still out there. You know what I mean? So I think he still goes out there and gets a couple guys.
Couple of rivals. Dallas Cowboys, knowing that this is sort of a do-or-die season for them when it comes to Mike McCarthy, Dak Prescott, and everything else, they're at 10.5. Would you take the over-under? Remember, this is 3 years in a row now of at least 12 wins, right?
I'll take over, man. Listen, they're still a super talented team. They got 2 of the best wide receivers in the game.
Mm-hmm.
They got a solid offensive line. They have 2 of the best pass rushers in the game. They have 2 of the best corner. They may have the top 2 or top 3 cornerback tandem. When you think Diggs coming back and the guy that led the league in touchdowns last year, you know, broke the record with 6 touchdowns as a defensive player in Bland. They went and got Kendricks, and they're gonna have a good draft. Yeah. I think at least 11 for them.
Okay. All right. Let's continue with the rivals for the New York teams. I'm looking for Buffalo. They are at also 10.5. Would you go over or under for Buffalo?
I go under. I think they lit at 10. I think
you think they're going to slip?
I think the Jets win. I think the Jets win the division with 10 wins.
Jets win the division with 10?
Yep.
Miami is 9.5, just like the Jets are. Yeah, interesting, right?
Exactly. And they got Buffalo only at 1, so they predict that Buffalo's going to win.
Huh.
But listen, they're razor thin. All it takes is one injury, and they're not a deep team because of how much they pay in their quarterback. They're not a deep team at all.
Couple of quick ones here. So Philadelphia also at 10.5, just like Dallas is in the NFC East. So you're going over-under on them?
They're 10.5.
Eagles, right? Added Saquon, right?
I'm going over. I think because Kellen Moore is there and Vic Fangio, go ahead and playing great defense.
Two teams near and dear to your heart, and then we'll call it. We'll wrap it up. First, of course, is your Detroit Lions. They're also at 10.5, coming off of getting to the championship game. What do you think?
I think over. DJ Reed is going to make them elite, and you know Cam Sutton getting hurt is going to. I mean. Doing what he did and not being in the NFL anymore, it's going to be tough. But I think they may go out and get a guy like Xavier Howard, and then they find themselves with a cheaper version of a great cornerback.
You know, Xavier Howard got cut from Miami. He goes over there. They traded for the guy from Tampa Bay. I think Dean and DJ Reader is one of the best defensive tackles in all of football.
And last but not least, your Baltimore Ravens. They are 11.5 over under.
Under.
I think
they take a step
oh,
back.
Oh, no. Okay.
They paid a lot of money out, and they lost all their coordinators. And then not only did they lose their coordinator, they lost their defensive line coach. They got a defense coordinator job. They lost so many people. People poached their coaching staff.
Yep.
They lost at least four key coaches.
Interesting. Okay. So, yeah, it's early, but we love to do these things, so the over-under's there. And Bart already thinking that the Jets can go over on 9.5, 10 wins or more, and could possibly win the division. Now, of course, that means Aaron Rodgers stayed healthy, which we're all rooting for after
what
happened last
year. Or Tyrod came in for a game or two and got her done.
Or it could be that. Or maybe even Zach Wilson. You never know. Coming up, 800-919-3776. We'll go back to your calls. And then also, where the Knicks are right now, what they did last night is all just about taking care of business. And is it time to reflect on the fact that their head coach deserves some consideration for Coach of the Year? Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
If only. You miss these days. Although Edwin Diaz can come out, where are the trumpets? This would be good to see him finally get back out there. Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Lead you into the K Show, top of the hour. So, Bart, this story in the NBA is something interesting. Alex Rodriguez is has been in this group looking to buy the Minnesota Timberwolves, and he has been seen at games, courtside, like getting very involved in the whole thing, and he was in the process of purchasing the team. The current owner is Glenn Taylor, and Adrian Wojnarowski had this interesting sudden report out of nowhere. Although it felt like it was taking forever for them to finalize the deal. And apparently they waited too long. And so Woe said the relationship between Glenn Taylor and his successors, which is Alex Rodriguez and Lore, said it disintegrated over the past 2+ years.
Damn.
That the two of them they raised money necessary to purchase controlling interest, but that Glenn Taylor has continued they didn't meet the contractual deadlines throughout transition, meaning they had the money, they just weren't paying him on time.
So he had enough. Void the contract?
Yeah, so he had enough and said, the deal's off. And then he says, the Timberwolves are no longer for sale.
Yeah, you see how good the team is. Like, you know so, what? I'm good.
Like
we're making money
now. And Alex Rodriguez, I guess we're supposed to get it done. I guess the last payment was by March 27th, and also that the buyer could have been entitled to a limited extension. However, those circumstances did not occur, and Glenn Taylor says the Timberwolves are no longer for sale. It gets better. So Mark Lohr and Alex Rodriguez put out a joint statement, and they basically are saying that Glenn Taylor is having an unfortunate case of seller's remorse. So he doesn't want to, like, they basically realize that he just decided, I don't want to sell the team now. Why? Well, they're contending. This is the best they've been in probably 15 years.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
And you would think that, you know, you have a young star like Anthony Edwards. Yeah. You're like, yo, I could have the next him, and this is going to be fun.
Imagine that. Like, so this is something
which means they're going to be which means if this team wins a championship or comes close to that, the evaluation of the team is going to skyrocket, kind of like when, you know, Golden State won their first two games, their first two championships, how everything was exciting. The city gets behind you. Hey, I don't know what their stadium situation is, but, you know, public fun starts coming out of when everybody loves a winner.
This
only happens to guys like A-Rod, man.
The first thing it sounded like was that A-Rod didn't have enough money.
Right, because remember, J-Lo was in it, but then they broke up. She went back to Ben Affleck, so she took her money out.
He was finding other people to help put money into this deal.
Right.
And so the suggestion early on was that he didn't have enough money, but now it's like, no, they've had the funds. It's that they haven't paid on time for whatever reason.
But you know what that means?
It looks
bad. When you have the funds and you don't pay them on time, those are funds you couldn't get away with, because those are funds that you were just using to show that you had the funds, but you needed those funds.
Ooh. Now, you know the story of John Spano and the Islanders, right? Like the guy who bought – well, it's a great 30 for 30 called Big Shot. Mm. You might see a familiar face in it here and there. But Big Shot's a great story that about a guy who had no money who bought the Islanders. It was a league-approved sale. He didn't have any money. It was all wire fraud. Like, everything he did
was showing money,
borrowing and faking the fact that he had money when it wasn't really his money. And the league wanted so bad to get a new owner that they just were, like, pushing this through. Like, oh, yeah, he knows people. It was all word of mouth. It was incredible, this story. And for about a couple of months, he literally owned the team, even though he never made a payment or a real payment. And so when he was late on his payments, the previous owner's like, yo, this guy ain't paying me. And then the league finally had to take the team away from him and give it back to the previous owner. A wild story. Wild story. I'm telling you, if you haven't seen Big Shot, it's one of the 30 for 30s. You should see it, even if you're not a hockey fan, because it's incredible that a guy could do something to the point where he literally was sitting in the owner's suite as the owner of a team, and he had no money. Like, it's a crazy story.
You know how this story in Minnesota can get crazier?
How?
Okay. This is a great team. Let's say if it goes back up for sale. Let's say if somebody who got the money. What if Jeffrey Jordan buys them?
Remember, he just owned the Hornets and he got tired of owning franchises.
No, but he just sold the. That you want to?
Yeah, remember he bought them for
How much did he sell it for?
No, I know he made a killing off.
And how much is his shoes? How much is his shoes worth now?
I don't know why he'd want to buy.
Because now he gets to go there and he gets to be around a guy that reminds him of himself.
Yes, he did say that. Jordan did say that. That Anthony Edwards does remind him of himself.
He just made 35 times what he bought the team for. Didn't he sell it for like $4
billion? He did sell it for a ridiculous amount of money. Yeah.
So you don't think Jeffrey can buy it, and now he has Ant-Man, and now the problem with Jeffrey isn't that – it's that he couldn't get a team.
$3 billion. He sold it for $3
billion. Right. He bought it for less than $1 billion, right? $300 million.
He bought it for way less than that.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, he still, his Jordan brand makes the money. So the thing is, he buys this team, the excitement with it, and the fact that the problem
he bought was remember, it was the Bobcats. Jordan bought the Charlotte Bobcats for $275 million and sold it for $3 billion.
That's five times the money. Might be more. But you see what I'm saying? Like, Jordan, that would be a crazy story. And then he mentors Anthony Edwards to being one of the greatest American-born basketball players of all time. The problem about great players is they can't build great teams, right? And that was Jordan's time. He couldn't build a good team. He never could draft right. All the people that he drafted just wasn't the right mixture. But now this team, somebody's already done the hard work for him.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see, like, because now Glenn Taylor's saying the team's not for sale. That's a big statement to say, not for sale, versus he's been trying to sell them.
He's basically saying he wants more money now because now it's a good team. Now you buy a good product.
Well, remember, they're going to be one of those teams over the tax threshold, and they're going to have some contract decisions to make. That's why I was telling people, keep an eye on the Carl Anthony Towns situation there. But
he's
something,
injured.
Something to watch,
who
man.
Who wants to buy injured good?
Well, but they got to move. For them, it's a contract that they don't want to have to start paying because it's going to put them over a threshold that's going to cost them more than – again, they're not in a major market. No matter how much winning they're doing, they still aren't going to have the type of value that you will in San Francisco, L.A., New York, Boston, you know, Chicago. You're just not going to get that in Minnesota. So it is
Minnesota's
something.
Minnesota's a new Miami. I'm just playing. instead of the ocean, you got lakes.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Well, yes, the Knicks do get a win. They're at 44 wins on the season. They still have a very good chance to get to 50 wins. They are 16 games over 500 for the first time in over a decade. They've won 7 of the last 8. Closer to second place now, 2 games out, than they are to the play-in, which is 5 games under them. They have done everything you're supposed to do. They have handled their business against a weak schedule right now, taking advantage of it. And the rest of the season, after they play Friday, the last losing team they'll play in this stretch is San Antonio Spurs, Friday in San Antonio. And then after that, the schedule gets tougher, as you expect, to finish out the season. Can they get a 2 or 3 seed? That is something that'd be huge. And yet they're still missing OG Anunoby and Julius Randle. So the Knicks doing their part, and now we're getting into baseball season, opening day today. The Mets will open tomorrow after today's rain. The Yankees opening at 4 o'clock in Houston. We'll talk to you about all that and more before we hand it off to the K-Show. But first, say goodbye to busted brackets, because FanDuel lets you bet on every game of the tourney. Whether you're betting on a big upset or a one seed, it's time to go dancing on America's number one sportsbook. And right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. That's $200 to use in point spreads, money lines, and you can even pick who's going to win it all. Just visit FanDuel.com/Allen and bet on college hoops until they cut down the nets. 21 or older, physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com for help with a gambling problem. Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Come on now, you know this, don't you?
Oh. It's just Ozzy.
Black Sabbath?
Yeah, Ozzy. I don't call him by his real name. It's Ozzy.
All right,
group.
You got that. I'll give you that. Not from Detroit, though. Ozzy is not from Detroit.
I know he's not from Detroit.
Hey,
he's from over the pond, bloody bloat.
So earlier in the show, we played this audio for you from Colleen Wolf and around the NFL Network about something that was seen or overheard at the owners' meetings. Between Woody Johnson and Robert Saleh. Listen to this.
From a very reliable source. Ooh. At the owners' meetings, there was a very heated conversation between Woody and Robert Saleh to the point where it was a little awkward.
So an argument between the head coach and the owner.
Wouldn't say argument, just a
heated passionate
discussion.
Exchange.
Uh-huh. What were they discussing?
First of all, can I just ask what the music is about, and why does it sound like they're laying on a couch, like cuddling, watching TV? That's
so
very
they do.
Bizarre.
So they do this background thing with the ball head dude, and like they do like that, like kind of rumors thing. That's like a little
That sounds a little more like strange. Anyways, so you
Colleen's,
heard what she
Colleen's
said.
Colleen's my girl, though.
I'm just saying
life.
The sound is weird.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they were trying to do that with the music.
Yes, it didn't hit. Second of all, what she said though is like, oh, and you and I both surmise, oh, it's got to be that. You know, after what he said about Zach Wilson, oh, well, if we can't trade him, we'll just keep him. And Robert Saleh was like, the hell we are. Right? I'm not putting up with that again.
Oh, no, he didn't. I don't know what it was. We just speculating, right?
We were speculating, just having fun with it.
Speculation.
Yes, exactly. We were doing just simple, like, hypothetical-ating. And so Woody Johnson just took to Twitter.
Man, he don't waste no time. He got his ears to the streets, huh?
Yeah, moments ago. And said this. All this nonsense about a heated argument between Coach Saleh and me at the league meeting is absolutely false. It is yet another irresponsible report from NFL Network. Please disregard.
That's the league. I mean, he talking to Goodell. Get control of your people, son, before I do.
So whatever Colleen Wolf heard from a source, he is saying was not accurate information. What could they have? So they were clearly someone saw them having some type of a discussion.
Yeah.
It looked like it was heated.
Yeah.
But he's saying it wasn't a heated argument.
Yeah.
It was just something else.
Could have been talking about, you know, the new formula for baby powder. You know what I'm saying?
Could be. It could be about anything. But he's saying it was nothing to regard.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah. It was called nonsense. Absolutely false. Nonsense. Please disregard. And then took a shot at the network for talking about it.
Let's make it sound more gangster. He took a shot at the league.
Yes.
Ooh.
Firing a salvo at the NFL. NFL Network no longer welcome at our facility.
Yeah. Goodell, come get your peoples.
Yeah. That's exactly it. That's
it. Check your girl, son.
Oh, you want access to our practice? Yeah, it's not going to happen now. Not going to have that anymore.
You want to talk to A.A. Ron?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Nah.
Aaron Rodgers has no time for NFL
Your
Network
dad does.
Now.
Where is A.A. Ron right now?
Not available.
Now?
That's where he is. Not available. In a way, Bart, I'm kind of disappointed that it's not true.
That it wasn't about that.
In a way, I wanted to have this sense that Robert Saleh has finally had it.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not going. They're going to take me out. You're going to do it with these dumb decisions, and I have to sit in front of a podium and try to cover for you all the time. And that ain't happening. You know, don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
Yeah.
I think that's what I was hoping he was finally standing up for himself and sort of fighting back, but I guess that's not happening.
In great Kung Fu movies, the dude who's the master is usually hurt. He's old, he's hobbled, and you think you can just run up on him? But everybody know better? I was hoping maybe Saleh ran up on him and Woody hit him with one of one of those type of things.
Let him know.
Yeah, the sensei is always old, he's a guy like that, and you think then when he fight, he turned like Memron from from Thundercat.
He's
an old decrepit man.
Well, it's like Miyagi against the teenagers, which by the way, today you can never make a movie like that. Like an older man.
You can't even beat up the teenagers. Sometimes the teenagers need to get their ass kicked.
Yeah, exactly. But Miyagi in the movie took on three teenagers and just took them out one by one. And, you know, they thought he was just this old man who could barely walk. And turns out, no, he got some skills. To me, the idea of having some beef right there because Saleh has finally had it. I'm done.
And then Joe Douglas in the middle breaking them up. Come on, guys. Can we all just get along?
Now Joe Douglas is like, I'll take him for a 10th round pick. I don't care. See you tomorrow, Bart.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.